Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit the apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found, but...
Yes, we did. We started digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. This is the Solartopia Green Power Wellness Show. Once again, back to you at a new time now, Monday at 3 p.m. But we will be continuing the podcast, and you can listen to the show whenever you want to. Tune in to the internet at www.prn.fm. Thank you, everybody, at the Progressive Radio Network. And here we have a great show again today for you to talk once again about stolen elections. Last week we did a full hour on stolen elections with Bob Fitricus, my notorious co-author and co-conspirator on our new book, Will the GOP Steal America's 2012 Election? It's available as an e-book. Trying to keep the price down. It's $4.99 at freepress.org and harveywasserman.ning.com. We have another author with us today, Sheila Parks, or Pox, calling us from Boston, Massachusetts, or Watertown. Sheila, are you there?
Harvey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes, indeed. But talk a little louder, get close to the... Mike, please. I am going to be on tonight, by the way, with Gary Knoll at 7 p.m. Gary and Greg Powers. We're going to talk still more about the integrity of the upcoming election. Gary's on at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. He, Greg Powers, and I will be talking about the likelihood, excuse me, that the GOP will steal this coming election. Bob Fitricus and I, Bob, will be joining us if you're not there already. Bob, you here? You with us? Bob's not with us yet, but he will be. Our book, Will the GOP Steal America's 2012 Election, is our fifth book on election protection since 2004, when the presidential election was stolen in Ohio right here. I'm talking to you from the scene of the crime, and we expect the crime to be repeated this year. Those of us, I want to make it clear, by the way, I'm not going to speak for Sheila, but Bob and I are not supporting Barack Obama for president this year. This is not part of a campaign operation to put four more years for Barack Obama in the White House. What we are trying to do is protect what's left, the few shreds left of our election process, our democracy, or what it was. We have had two of the last three elections stolen, 2000 and 2004, by the Republican Party, putting in that great genius George W. Bush into the White House, getting us into the Iraq War and all sorts of other trouble. 2008, we believe, was a legitimate victory for Barack Obama because tens of thousands of people came out in the Hopi Feely movement there, to Hopi Changey movement, to bring us a new America, bring us an African-American president, bring us an end to the George W. Bush era, and to avoid, God forbid, having John McCain and Sarah Palin in the White House. And that election did work, although we think that Obama got more popular votes than he's credited with, but nonetheless, he did win the election. But now we're looking at 2012. We're looking at people like Sheldon Adelson, and the Koch brothers and the Chamber of Commerce are going to be pouring in literally hundreds of millions of dollars to defeat Barack Obama. I will be supporting Jill Stein, the Green Party. I will be voting for Bob Fitricus for Congress, who's running as a Green from my district here in Central Ohio. But we are concerned about the destruction of what's left of our democracy if, in fact, the parties can steal the votes, the presidency from each other. And this is not to say that the Democrats wouldn't steal it from the Republicans if they could get away with it. But this year they won't, because the Republicans have the governors in 9 swing states: Florida, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, New Mexico, and Arizona all have Republican governors. And those are the swing states. There are a couple others: New Hampshire, North Carolina, maybe Missouri, maybe. They do have Democratic governors, but these 9 states, actually just 3 of them, Florida, Michigan, well, 4, Florida, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, could decide the election anyway. And that's all it will take. The Adelson, Sheldon Adelson, the casino guy, has said that he's going to spend $100 million or whatever it takes to get Barack Obama out of the White House. Now, we have since this past week, stories have surfaced. And I appreciate your patience, Sheila and Bob. Let me just run through this. Sheldon Adelson, it's been revealed, if Mitt Romney gets in the White House and puts through the tax breaks that he's talking about doing, Sheldon Adelson will net over $2 billion in tax breaks. So this guy's betting he's a casino guy, he's betting $100 million against $2 billion. You know, that's 1 against 20. That's not bad odds for a guy that's got as much money as God. And the Koch brothers, of course, are major, major polluters, big-time oil and gas defilers of the planet, and they stand to gain also hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions, in regulatory breaks that we know Mitt Romney will give them. That's not to say that Barack Obama might not also do it, but nonetheless, this is a safe bet for these guys. Now, we have with us Sheila Parks. Sheila, you are the author of a new book. You're a former professor. You're the author of a new book on electronic voting machines. And you're the founder of the Center for Hand-Counted Paper Ballots. So tell us about how you got into this. We'll talk about that later. Give us the substance first. What is the substance of your book? What are you trying to tell us about electronic voting machines, and why did you form the Center for Hand-Counted Paper Ballots?
Hi, Harvey. Thanks for having me here.
You're welcome.
I founded the center. I've been involved in this. Let me just answer it quickly. Since the crimes of the Florida 2000 presidential election, when Gore won and the Supreme Court selected Bush to sit in the White House.
And then Gore didn't say a word about it, but we'll talk about that later.
And I founded the center because I like to live in solutions. And when it became clear to me that all, not only the touchscreens, but all the optical scan machines also were capable of being hacked and were being hacked, I can't remember what put me on to hand counting. I've been trying to remember that for a long time, what turned me on to it. But I fell in love with it. And
with
I've been living in
paper
that
ballots.
Solution all these
you
years.
Fell in love with what? Hand counted paper ballots.
Tell you about it. Well, you know, it's done. I always talk about Acton, Maine. I went and observed some hand countings in real time as I got involved in this, because I said, how can I be for hand counting if I've never even seen one? So I went to a few places in New England, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, no scientific studies, places that were easy for me to drive to in a day and, you know, watch the counting and sleep over and come home. And Acton, Maine could be and should be a model for the entire country. There were 944 ballots cast. There were 7 races and 2 initiatives. And at the end of the election night, when the polls closed, the town clerk had 6 teams of 2 people each come in to count, to hand count, a Republican and a Democrat. And they counted these 944 ballots two times. And any time there was any kind of discrepancy, they went back and started again to count until everything matched, vote for vote. And do you know how long it took them to count 944 ballots?
No.
Take a guess.
An hour.
4 hours.
Four hours.
The people in America can wait, you know, for our votes to be tallied. What we have now is they announce the victory before people are even through voting, before the polls close in other places, as you will know.
Sheila, if you're on a speakerphone, if you could just pick it up and talk on the handset, that'd be better.
What do you want me to do with it?
Just if you have a handset, just
hold it so it won't whistle like that, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Can I have you? I want to go back to something about Barack Obama.
Hold on 1 second. Bob Petrakis, are you with us? Okay, Bob's going to join us. Okay, go ahead, Sheila.
So I am going to vote for Obama. I was not for Obama in the last election, although I voted for him. I was for Hillary. I was not even for Barack Obama since when in Ohio, when we were in Washington visiting all the dream team of senators and congresspeople and begging him to stand up and not certify the votes of Ohio. And although he had just, you know, gotten into office one day before, and he wouldn't do that, so my enchantment with him went. But I really was for Hillary until Hillary said, we're not ever going to have relationships with that rogue nation, Cuba. So Hillary was off my list before she even got defeated, you know, by Obama. And I did vote for him and didn't like him, but I do think now, Harvey, for me, either he totally lied while he was campaigning, you know, like the courtship versus the marriage, or maybe he has been threatened to have, you know, that his partner, Michelle, and his two children will be killed by these people. I just want to put that out there. But
well,
I am
Sheila, we are joined by Bob Petrakis here, my co-author. And you, Sheila, your focus is on hand-counted paper ballots. Bob, you've been a big advocate of hand-counted paper ballots for a long time, and you are experienced. You were down in Central America as a vote, an observer on elections. So can you tell us, you and I have been advocating hand-counted paper ballots, and it's an honor to be joined by Sheila Parks, who's just written a book about it. Sheila, what's the title of your book, by the way?
It's a long title. It's called While We Still Have Time.
While We Still Have Time, yeah.
The Perils of Electronic Voting Machines and Democracy Solution, Publicly Observed, Secure, Hand-Counted Paper Ballots Elections.
Well, that's a handful. That's half the book right there.
Yeah.
So, and what's the name of your publisher? How do people get your book?
Just go to Amazon and print my name into it, and it will come up right away, or go to any local bookstore in the United States or Europe.
Okay. So, Bob, you and I have co-authored a book called Will the GOP Steal America's 2012 Election? What is your feeling about hand-counted paper ballots here, having been an election observer and watched these last elections be stolen?
Well, I've witnessed the hand-counting of ballots in El Salvador after the Civil War. And, again, the equivalent of the precincts there were actually much larger than any American precinct, including urban areas, and really there was no problem. They had large, transparent pieces of paper. They pulled out every ballot. Everyone looked at it and marked it in all the political parties, and unlike the United States, there were many political parties getting votes. The media, the international observers, which I was the representative of, and anyone else could just stand and publicly watch the votes counted. You know, it didn't take that long. It essentially, you know, they stopped voting around 7 o'clock, and by midnight we had a vote count.
And do you think it was a fair vote count? How would you?
Absolutely. If there were any troubles on the mark, they'd actually come and reach an agreement right on the spot. It was the intent of the voter. And everyone could see every ballot. It simply was full transparency.
Sheila, is that what you're advocating in your book?
Absolutely. And you know that both the Netherlands and Ireland don't use the machines anymore, and Ireland gave those away for scrap very recently. Yes, that's exactly what I'm advocating.
Well, you're saying the Irish had voting machines and threw them out?
Yeah, Ireland had voting machines, and they stopped using them a while ago. And a month or so ago, they sold them all for scrap.
And what about the Netherlands?
Netherlands gave them up a number of years ago also. And I'm told also, though I haven't been able to check it yet, but I'm told that Israel and South Africa also use hand counting completely through the country.
Well, what countries in the world do you know that use hand counted paper ballots?
Well, I pretty much have the same list as Sheila, in terms of the hand counting, but very few.
Germany,
there's a lot of them that use them at the precinct level and only use the machines for tabulation after they've been viewed at the precinct or ward level equivalent in the United States.
But that means they can rig them right at the after they leave the precinct, Bob, right?
Right. Is that... some tabulate use central tabulators, but you know, there's no real reason to do that, although in the United States, you know, we've had problems in Franklin County here where there was not even a printout from an electronic machine at the precinct level in the last election. They claimed there was a programming glitch, so you couldn't even get any initial local numbers out of a possibly rigged machine.
Well, my understanding is that Germany, Japan, Canada, Switzerland all use hand-counted paper ballots. Is that correct?
I want to go back for a minute, Javi, before I...
Wait. Let's answer that question. What other countries in the world...
I think that Germany does not necessarily hand-count all of their ballots, and there's disagreement in that in the voting rights movement. And I'm in the middle of hiring somebody really to translate that law for me, because some people think they got rid of all the obscreans and the DREs. I'm not so sure that it's only the DRE, so I'm still agnostic on exactly...
What is a DRE?
The touchscreens. Touchscreens.
So a touchscreen machine...
Same as a touchscreen.
Bob, can you describe a touchscreen machine? Because we've had some experience with those in Ohio.
Well, yeah, no, I voted on them, whether they were Danaher's or the iVotronics that we use, and literally you touch the screen, and where you touch is supposed to record the vote, although they'll admit that there's problems with calibration. In 2004, they had the touch space wrong, so if you touched for Kerry, and actually recorded for Bush on 31 machines, and this was admitted to in Mahoning County, which is Youngstown.
That's exciting. So if you vote for John Kerry, it lights up for George W. Bush. I must have got some yucks at the polling stations.
Well, the notion is that they'd actually admit to it, and they didn't take them offline right away. It's almost like they disbelieved the voters. Here in Franklin County, we had what was called the Franklin County fade, is that you touched for Kerry, it showed for Kerry, but on the final screen where you push all of your votes, the Kerry light up in 2004 would actually fade away. So you would have all your votes except for president, creating a so-called undervote.
Phil, I assume you're familiar with that.
Yeah, and you know, in Georgia, they use only touch screens in the whole state of Georgia, and I think they don't even have paper trails, right, Bob?
Yeah, that was my understanding last time I looked at it. And you also remember the law they passed in Florida saying that there wouldn't be any paper ballots after the debacle of the 2004 election.
And who passed this law?
In 2004 here in Franklin County, well, it was the Republican-dominated legislature. But in 2004 on the Danaher machines in Franklin County, there was no paper trail with them. We voted essentially without any paper trail.
Bobby, let me go back, though, to the size of the precinct that Bob mentioned, because I think it's really important. In Massachusetts, for example, there's a law that says no precinct can be larger than 1,000 voters, and I think that's a good law. On the other hand, one of the elections that the hand counting, the end of it, the election that I observed in New Hampshire with Ernie Voth in Walpole, and I think he's retired, had 2,400 registered voters, an extremely complicated ballot, and they hand counted it.
Where was this?
This is in Walpole, New Hampshire.
And
I write about this in the book. There's a section called Hand-Counted Paper Ballots 101, and I include all of my observations, these real observations in real time about Walpole and Acton, et cetera.
Well, so what was the outcome? I mean, how did it work? Did it work well? I mean, are we happy about what happened?
It was amazing. It just worked wonderfully.
How do we know?
Bernie was in love with it. The people who came in to vote, to count were in love with it. The people who lived there loved it. Everybody loved it.
How do we know they got an accurate vote count?
I'm sorry?
How do we know that they got an accurate outcome?
Well, because people were watching. They had not only counters, but people watching.
Well,
there's no hidden secret machine, you know, like in The Wizard of Oz, where somebody goes behind the screen in the black box and counts your vote. If people are watching and they're from opposing sides of the ballot, although Ernie does not do Republicans and Dems, he does a veteran and a newcomer. I'm not sure I like that matchup. But there were people at the tables watching.
Uh-huh.
Well, how can you not? I mean, there are people watching you do this. And I have to say this. I have written up, and other people have written up, protocols. I would do it a little bit differently. I would be very careful to have opposing parties, all opposing parties, including Greens, et cetera, as part of the count as an observer. It would be Ustreamed, live streamed, it would be, you know, videotaped, so that everybody in the world could watch this.
All right, well, let's talk about what's brought this on. I mean, we're talking here with Sheila Parks, author of a new book on electronic voting machines, and Bob Fitrakis, my longtime co-conspirator. We are co-authors of the new book, Will the GOP Steal America's 2012 Election? So we're talking here. We seem to agree, the three of us, that paper ballots, hand-counted paper ballots, would be a good thing. Now, of course, there were plenty of elections that were stolen on paper ballots over the years. You know, sometimes boxes of paper ballots, ballot boxes, would be found floating in rivers along with some of the election workers and things like that. So it's not a foolproof system. But this has been brought on, obviously, by problems with electronic voting machines. So, Sheila, this is the theme of your book. Can you tell us what the problem is with electronic voting machines? Why aren't you for them?
You can't see what's going on. They're not transparent. Nobody knows what's happening in that black box. Some of them, you know, that Bob just described, these touch screens don't have paper trails. When we, you know, everybody says, well, when you put your money in the bank, you get your receipt back. How can we have a vote, my vote, not be sure if my vote is counted as I cast it? No one these days even knows who owns these companies. I mean, I know that you two wrote in your book that they're owned by all right-wing Republicans. I'm not even sure of that anymore. When I was writing my book and I tried to find out who owned the companies, nobody that I spoke to knew who owned them anymore. I mean, that's how secret and crazy this is. Then Beth Harris came to my rescue. I was sitting here writing saying, well, I don't know who I'm going to say owns these damn things. And she talked about, a gambling company in Malaysia that is now owning voting machine companies that we vote on here. And I wonder if Idelson, by the way, is related to any of those gambling companies in Malaysia that own and sell us voting machines. So, you know, the vote, we have to watch and see what's happening. Even though votes hand counting was rigged in the past, Harvey, with the kind of protocols that I have written up and that others have written up, it can't happen that way anymore. The public is too aware. The voting rights activists are too aware. It's not going to happen. And as people like to say, if you vote, you know, maybe a hand count might be rigged, a little retail, but the machine's a wholesale rigging of our votes. And as you know, as everybody knows, or as everybody should know, every other right we have in the world depends on the right to vote and if our votes get counted as cast and if we put the people that we want to in office. I want to say one more thing about, while I have the line, let me say it. One of the reasons I'm voting for Obama, and it may be the only reasons, but they're huge reasons, protecting the Supreme Court, because abortion rights, you can kiss Roe v. Wade goodbye. If the Republicans get in, there will be no more Roe v. Wade, and the gay LGBTQ rights will go down the drain, too. So those are two important reasons that people are for Obama, and I'm one of them.
Okay, well, I want to make clear that Bob Fitrakis and I are not supporting Obama, and this is what we are supporting is the protection of our democracy, or what's left of it in this country. Bob, can you tell us a few stories here about electronic voting machines and what some of the problems have been that we've encountered and why we think they are perfectly designed to steal elections?
Well, for example, the headlines today in the Columbus Dispatch is something that we already reported in the Free Press. There are bloated voting rolls in Ohio, and in fact, in Wood County, there's 109 registered voters for every 100 eligible voters. Not registered voters, eligible voters. So you have the possibility of what we call the cyber vote. One of the most famous examples, and I know Sheila knows about this, is private contractors all tied to the far Christian right and all active Right to Life members committed to stopping what they see as the unborn baby Holocaust, essentially counted the votes in Ohio in 2004. The vote count in Ohio was outsourced to a private company, SmartTech, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which had on the same servers was a direct tie to the White House, GWB43, a Swift Voters for Truth, etc. All of these are in fact operating on election night on the same servers with a direct connection. Supposedly, they sent home the IT guy from the state of Ohio and allowed Triad, a right-to-life company, doing the maintenance. They allowed Cedarville Christian University to help out, and they also had essentially New Media, which was running the show, Mike Connell, who died in the mysterious plane crash, and Smart Tech, which was run by Jeff Averbeck, who formerly worked for a Pentecostal publishing house. So
are you saying that right-wing fanatics counted the ballots?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hardcore
right-wing fanatics that would have no problem obeying God's higher law, if you look at their belief system. And these guys were privately counting the ballots as private contractors to the state of Ohio in the 2004 election.
And, Bob, we have Kathy Waukesha in Kathy Nicholas in Wisconsin in Waukesha. She's one of those ultra-right born-agains, too, against abortion totally, rigging all of those votes in Wisconsin.
No, are you telling me that the vote count in this country is somehow rigged? Is that
no.
what you're trying to say?
I mean, you know about, you know, one of the ones that gets me, yes, I am saying that. And, Bob, aren't you?
So
are you, Harvey.
Yeah, and I'm saying that the exit polls are the great indicator. And what they want us to believe, Harvey, is that the universal law of statistics apply everywhere on earth except in American elections, in recent elections, particularly when somebody named Bush was running.
Isn't that American exceptionalism? Isn't that part of the...
That's called American rigging.
Uh-huh. So, do you believe that the 2004 and 2008 elections were impacted by the presence of these electronic voting machines? And can you tell us how? Sheila, you've written a book about it. What's the deal?
They were rigged. I want to go. Let's go back to those. You said 9 governors. I have 10 governors. 10 ultra-right governors were elected in 2010. And
well,
I went through every single one of them.
About
they did not
states.
All come from a long line of states that have elected right-wing and Republican governors. Some of them had long-term Democrat governors in there, and these Republicans came in 2010. And you know, I'm sure both of you know, this is one of my favorite riggings about, and this is the EAC, the Election Assistance Commission, talking, saying that the ESNS DS200 Intellect optical scan, this is those optical scan machines, had errors during voting in Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, New York, and Wisconsin. I mean, after you have something like that happen, why how can people even be discussing voting on these machines? Because the public doesn't know, because the corporate media lapdogs are in the hands of the 1%.
Well, we know that actually people are starting to pay attention to the voter registration issue. There's a front page article in today's New York Times questioning. It's kind of an article kind of, I won't say ridiculing, but certainly, shall we say, exposing this True the Vote organization, which is an extreme right-wing group that seems to be dedicated to stripping as many potential Democrats from the voting rolls as possible.
And I believe they're associated with Ron Paul, aren't they? I want to say that out loud.
I'm not sure about that. Ron Paul was not mentioned in the article.
Well, in Ohio, they were one of the speakers was supposed to be John Husted, the Republican Secretary of State, till it came out he was speaking at the True the Vote rally.
Ah, so that he didn't get away with that.
No, it was...
So the truth about now, let's talk about the stripping voters for a minute. We'll shift gears just a little bit. Actually, it's a half past now. Matt, whenever you want, or you can run the music. We'll take a short break. There we go, and we will come back in a couple minutes and pick it up with more with Bob Petrakis and Sheila Park on election time.
Yeah.
we are back. That's the great Dana Ryan singing the Silvertopia song. Always a pleasure to have him. We're talking with Bob Fitrakis, my co-conspirator and co-author of the new book, Will the GOP Steal America's 2012 Election? Sheila Parks, the author of a new book on electronic voting machines. I want to Sheila, what is the title of your book again?
Well, we still have time, and I feel that we have a hot seat of time, by the way.
We don't have much. Now, Sheila is supporting Barack Obama for president. Bob Fitrakis and I are definitely not.
While we still have time, The Perils of Electronic Voting Machines and Democracy Solution, Publicly Observed Secure Hand-Counted Paper Ballot Selection.
All right. Sounds good to me. I want to ask you both, what are the odds that the 2012 election will be stolen? And how, if you think it could be done, how will it be done? Sheila, let's start with you.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that the vote rigging is that vote fraud is a hydra-headed monster. The voter ID laws, the suppression of the vote, all of that. And it's a mystery to me why that gets so much attention and not the election fraud of, you know, the machines. But thank God that is getting a lot of attention. But my strong feeling is that no matter what they do, the suppression of the vote and the voter ID laws and all that, when push comes to shove, they can still rig all the machines and then, you know, rig the election. So I believe that, you know, my crystal ball says, of course it's going to be rigged. It's going to be rigged probably in Massachusetts, where they really want to keep on having Ted Kennedy's seat, who must be rolling in his grave. It's certainly going to be rigged, I would guess, in Wisconsin again, because Scott Walker never won that recall. They're trying to get, they're trying to influence state laws in Florida right now as we speak. So I would think they could end up owning the House, the Senate, the presidency, and the Supreme Court after that. It's, you know, it's hard to say all of that, but it does feel that that's a real possibility that might happen. And I think we could stop it even now with people really being aware and out on the streets and at their SOS office and at their clerk's office and et cetera.
Bob Fitrakis, what
yes.
is your feeling on whether the 2012 election will be stolen?
Well, I think the new wrinkle will be the electronic poll books, which they've used somewhat in the past, but really... I'm looking at wireless. A lot of the things we're following. sorry about that. At the Free Press, has to do with the emergence of wireless networks that sell kind of access to registered voters and other lists. So, I'm looking towards the rise of wireless, and also there's some interesting stuff.
Well, what could they do with wireless?
On Androids and other phones. Now, what could they do with it?
What could they do with
wireless technology? They could vote the cyber vote. I mean, we used to have a joke in Ohio that the election's never over until the cyber vote comes in. I mean, we, in Miami County, right, it's, you know, they report 100% of the vote, and then sometime around 3 a.m. in the morning, you know, 19,000 more votes come in overwhelmingly for Bush. And the question is, well, how did they come in? I mean, and our thought at the time was that, you know, somebody had remote access or wireless. So I think that's a tremendous new wrinkle as this gets more and more sophisticated.
Well, my understanding is that with the proper equipment, you can actually drive by a precinct that has electronic voting and flip the vote. Is that possible, Bob and Sheila?
Yeah, not only is the wireless possible in remote access, but, of course, what the Everest study found out, that somebody with a handheld device, in our case, we're turning up Android apps that are real high-tech, you know, real sophisticated spyware that could easily interface with the central tabulators or the actual voting machines.
And, of course, the voting machines are controlled by, Republican corporations, and we don't really know who they are, and we certainly don't have access to the source code that would allow a reasonable monitoring of the situation. Is that fair to say, Bob and Sheila?
Right. Well, I wanted to say that at a conference in 2012, David Jefferson, who's a computer scientist at Lawrence Livermore National Lab and chairperson of Verify Voting, said that Internet voting systems are inherently insecure and should not be allowed in the upcoming general elections.
Bob, what do you say to that?
Well, I would say that there's so much technology out there, and they're so vulnerable. I mean, it's the software and the hardware and the access and the internet. It's sort of like, let's count the ways. Do we put in patches, which looks like it was done in 44 counties in Ohio in 2004? You simply come in with a new patch to the software. Are you going to send it over the internet where it can be hijacked, through a man-in-the-middle attack? Are you going to put an Easter egg in the central tabulators that only shows up briefly at a certain time on election day? For example, in Franklin County, we were told that it took 1,500 lines of code, essentially, to count the vote. So when we had access and finally found out not what the code was, but how many lines there was, there was an estimated 2.5 million lines of code in there, which is plenty of space to hide a rigged election result.
And here we go again. Bob, let me just add to that, too, that Alex Haldeman's team from the University of Michigan proved the insecurity of the system they used it to elect a drunken...
Could you please get off speakerphone?
Oh, right. They used it to elect a drunken Futurama robot vendor to be the head of the school board. And so they also have said that electronic voting systems are decades away from being secure. And they were talking about the test of Washington, D.C.'s internet voting system for absentee ballots. No good. No good.
Okay, so what do we think? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to tell you what I think is likely to happen in this coming election this fall, which is that I'm not going to say unpopular, but disappointing as Barack Obama has been to many of his core supporters, I believe he'll probably win legitimately win the public vote count. But when it comes to carrying the swing states that he has to have for the outdated, obsolete, utterly useless and ridiculous electoral college that we still have, I don't see him winning the swing states. You know, the nine Republican governors in Florida, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, Iowa, New Mexico, and Arizona, I don't see them allowing a vote count that would let Barack Obama have a second term. Am I being paranoid? Is this a fantasy? What's the deal here?
I completely agree, and I have some more states that I could add.
Sheila, you have to get on the handset.
Let me
you
hold
talk
them.
On the speakerphone.
They're in my hand. Can you hear
okay.
me better now, Harvey?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So I totally agree, and I have some more states that I would add to that mix that are going to absolutely not go to Barack Obama, no matter who votes for him.
But you were also mentioning Massachusetts. Is it possible in this day and age to steal an election in Massachusetts?
I don't know if they'll steal the Obama election. I'm talking about the Senate race between Scott Brown and Elizabeth Warren.
But you have a Democratic governor.
Yes, we do. Yes.
And a Democratic Secretary of State.
Right, but Scott Walker won last time.
Well,
one last time. Scott Brown won in Massachusetts over Martha Coakley. And, you know, the excuse they used was Martha Coakley did a very bad election. But Beth Harris crunched numbers, and Coakley won in the hand-counted places in Massachusetts.
Oh, so let's say that. Now, say that again. Martha Coakley ran for Senate against Scott Walker. And you're saying
Scott Brown.
Somebody's Scott Brown. There's a Rick Scott,
okay,
too.
Okay, I just made the same.
And what you're saying is that the... that she won in places where the ballots were counted by hand but lost in general because of electronic voting machines?
Well, Bev put out a paper that said, you know, she won the hand counts and Scott Brown lost. And she left it kind of there. Jonathan Simon did another paper on it. He said Coakley won the hand counts and would have won the election.
Well, Harvey, that in 2004, when a few areas were actually hand-counted, Coshocton County. And what was interesting, when the ballots were hand-counted, it wasn't that Kerry won that county, but he actually picked up 3% more vote, which was what the exit polls had been predicting, that where there was hand-counting, you got an honest vote count. and that if you had got an honest vote count throughout the whole state of Ohio, with a 3% recount, remember on election night, George W. Bush wins by close to 139,000 votes. Just doing a recount of 3% of the vote narrowed that by 20,000 votes down to 118,000. So if you would have recounted the other 97% of the state, except for the places where you couldn't because there was no paper trails like Youngstown in Franklin County, what would have happened is the exit polls would have almost nearly incorrectly matched the paper hand count.
So we have a discrepancy then between where the votes are hand counted and the votes are machine counted.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in Ohio in 2004, they actually matched the exit polls. When people come out and say, this is how I voted, in places where they were on paper and audited and recounted, and in some places, the errors were easily found. We found a 2,500 vote shift to Bush in Miami County just by getting the logs printed out. Steve Quillen, the executive director up there of the Board of Election, prints out the results for it. He's so sure they're correct. And what we were able to point out is that there's vote flipping here. Somebody has added votes from precincts that don't exist, and they overwhelmingly favor George Bush.
Well, we had two precincts in Ohio in 2004, as I recall, where there were more people voting than there were people.
Yeah, well, we had the Sandusky County had 130% voter turnout initially.
Well, that's good. As Americans that,
and
13 out of every 10 voters showed up to vote.
Yeah, in Perry County, in those two precincts that was put before Congress, there was 124% and 121% voter turnout. This is the cyber vote that we're talking about, that somebody, in this case, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, most likely, Smart Tech, somebody was inputting extra votes for George Bush that weren't matching the actual exit polls, which are the gold standard.
Right, and let's talk about this now. In 2004, CNN ran a screen around 12:20 at night on election night showing that of the 11 key swing states, John Kerry had carried 9 of them, and that included Ohio, Iowa, Nevada, and New Mexico. And then at 2 p.m., then suddenly the vote counts stopped, and the electronic machines backed up, at least in Ohio. And at 2 a.m., John Kerry, who had been ahead in Ohio by more than 4%, which is more than 200,000 votes, suddenly was behind by 2%, more than 100,000 votes. So it's a swing of more than 300,000 votes. Is that correct, Bob?
Yeah, and not only that, we now know, the Free Press reported this a while back, but the book on Boss Rove by Craig Unger now documents in great detail that at 11:14, to be precise, the Ohio vote counting was stopped because of some dubious denial of service attack, which the technicians say never happened, and the mere oversight, the backup site run by partisan Republicans in Chattanooga, Tennessee, kicked in. So it's no surprise once they begin to process the vote, an hour later or so, the votes begin to melt away.
Sheila, do you discuss this in your new book?
I wanted to say something else. I wanted to just switch. Let me just switch the subject for a minute, okay, just to say something
about
voting.
Well, very quickly, because we're actually running out of time.
It feels to me that the three of us really agree on all this, and we have data that we could talk about for the rest of the year. And,
after November, we're probably going to have new data to talk about.
I'm sorry?
Well, after November, unfortunately, we're going to have new data to talk about because Sheldon Adelson and the Koch brothers and the Chamber of Commerce have made it clear that they're going to spend whatever it takes to get Romney into the White House.
Correct. So, and this is, you know, I want to go back to Bill McKibben. Javi, you will love this. Bill McKibben has come out, I'm sure you read it, calling out the Koch brothers and the Chamber of Commerce for, you know, being putting all these gazillions of dollars into this election to make sure that some of the people who deny the climate crisis are going to get elected.
Well, yes, and we want to make it clear here that the Koch brothers and the Adelsons and the Chamber of Commerce are not exactly operating out of ideological purity here. There has been a story that broke last week that shows that the Sheldon Adelson would make $2 billion in tax benefits, as we discussed, and so this is a 20-to-1 shot for him. I mean, he's throwing in $100 million, but he stands to make $2 billion. And all these guys are going to get huge tax breaks from this.
Well, and the
stuff.
Koch brothers, too, continue with their
the polluting, yes. So the question then is, with all this money floating around to get Mitt Romney in the White House, how much would it really cost them to flip the electronic votes in 9 states? Do we have an estimate? I mean, Bob, what would it cost
them? That's the question, Javi. I didn't hear it.
The question is, how much will it really cost these guys who are spending hundreds of millions of dollars, as if it was spare change, which it actually is to them, to put Mitt Romney in the White House? How much would it cost them if, at the end of the day, if, on the end of Election Day, say Obama wins the popular vote nationwide by 2-4%, which I think is highly likely, how much will it cost them to just, in the dead of night, flip the electronic voting machines in a couple of the key states? Probably they'd only need 3. Is my even no matter how big Obama's victory is going to be, if he loses Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, there's no way he gets elected. Bob, how much? What would it cost them to flip the electronic voting machines in those states?
Yeah, I don't think it's a question of money. I think they rely on true believers who are responding to what they perceive as a higher law and God's law. And I think a lot of these people would do it for free. A man named Sam Hogsett in 2004 worked for ESNS. We traced him to...
ESNS is an electronic voting machine.
Yeah, we traced him to many of the patches that have been put in just prior to the election. But when we went and found out, you know, what he'd done on the Internet, he had been writing letters to newspapers saying that he, Sam Hogsett, had a dream. He'd like to shoot a liberal in the head. So right before the liberal's death, the liberal would know that he, Sam Hogsett, had killed him and not the gun.
Well, did he have a particular liberal in mind, or was this just...
It was our old friend from Rampart who still writes for the L.A. Times.
Oh, Bob Scheer.
Yeah, it was Bob Scheer he named specifically as a man he wanted to shoot in the head. And these are public letters to small newspapers in southeast Ohio. I mean, to me, if he's putting in patches that are suspect, he's not doing it for money. He's doing it for, you know, ideological reasons.
Well,
yeah,
Sheila,
let me
you
segue
have a...
into that, Javi and Bob. Let me spend a few minutes, please. I want to talk about the abortion rights and the LGBTQ rights, because these true believers really want to control women's bodies and make abortion illegal immediately. I mean, they're already doing it. A state at a time, they're chipping away at it. For example, in Kansas, it is the law now that bans abortions, and people have to have counseling. Women have to have counseling that they have before they have abortions, and they have to hear this information read to them, that an abortion, quote, will terminate the life of a whole, separate, unique, and living human being.
Unlike the war in Afghanistan, where all these people are unborn, I guess.
Right. So, then we have the personhood law. We haven't heard the end of the personhood law. We have, you know, they want to make gay marriage a constitutional amendment, that there will be no gay marriage in this country.
Right. So the
these
question
people
is,
are fighting for this stuff that, you know,
the
they are
is,
true believers in every sense of the word, and they feel they're doing God's will. So Mike Connell, the same thing. Isn't that why he was doing it? He was against abortion rights.
Absolutely.
All right, now Michael Connell was a Bush family operative who ran a company called Smart Tech. Is that correct?
No, he ran New Media.
And they were
contracted to Smart Tech.
Right, and they were involved in the vote count in Ohio in 2004. And
they ran it. They privately ran the vote count.
Well, of course, you know, we love the pretense here that private companies, which are not accountable in any way, shape, or form, or transparent to the public, are counting our votes. And they're using electronic voting machines where the source code is proprietary. You know, as Jesse Jackson said, we can afford to lose an election. We can't afford to lose our democracy. I don't see any way, shape, or form that we have a democracy here if our votes are counted on completely opaque and manipulable electronic voting machines. So let's look at the roster here. First and foremost, you know, up front, we have an electoral college. Well, first, Bob, you and I laid out these 6 points in our book, Will the GOP Steal America's 2012 Election? You have a Citizens United, which lets unlimited amounts of cash into the electoral process. You have an electoral college that limits the meaningful votes in terms of the swing states to about a dozen states. So you've really narrowed the field. Then you have a nationwide Jim Crow attempt, pretty successful apparently, to strip voter rolls of millions of suspected Democrats, mostly blacks and Hispanics. Then you have, and what we talked about today, if that's not enough, then you have the electronic voting machines, which are owned and operated by Republican companies that can swing the votes in a matter of a few keystrokes, really, in the dead of night. And you have Republican governors in 9 swing states that will be, of which you only need 3 or 4 to flip the election. So since we're talking about gambling and Sheldon Adelson here, what are the odds that Obama wins this election? Bob, what do you think?
Well, I think it's 50-50, and a lot of it would have to do on how much we can get this information out. That's why I think Sheila's book is so important.
And Sheila, what do you think?
I agree with what Bob is saying, that unless we get this information out, the general, you know, I read last week to a writing group that I just joined, a social justice group from the National Writers Union, and they got it. They got what I was reading. They just had never heard it before. So we have to get this out to regular, normal people so that people will not let this happen, because I think
it is. Well, then how do you prevent it? How do you prevent the flipping of election with electronic voting machines? What do you do?
You can't use them, period. You just cannot use them.
Yes, but they will be used in this election.
You would save so much money, besides which, if we got rid of the machines, and the money would stay in the communities if we paid all the people who counted and observed, which I feel we should do.
But
let me just say for a minute.
We know that.
I want you two to name those Republican people that own the voting machines. I called all over the whole country and couldn't find anybody to name them anymore. So I really feel we should be, you know, specific on that if we can be. But, you know, people have to do sit-ins.
Well,
they
yes, and at the one point, of course, was owned by Senator Chuck Hagel, who won unexpectedly after getting large votes in Nebraska in the urban areas.
Yeah,
well, no, I know that, but does he still own it? I don't know if no one knows
the,
it.
Actually, we've, in the free press, within the next few days, you'll see that we've just tied one of the machines to the Carlyle Group.
Well, that was George H.W. Bush.
Yeah,
George H.W. Bush pioneered.
A lot of these companies, I mean, Dominion is now in Canada. You know, they have this weird Command Central. Sheila's making a good point. We're going through in great detail these venture capitalists and these hedge funds, and it's really difficult to find out who actually owns this stuff.
Sorry. You've been a great guest. So much. What's the name of your book again?
Have us back again, Harvey. This was great. I had a lot of fun. While we still have time, The Perils of Electronic Voting Machines and Democracy Solutions, Publicly Observed Secure Hand-Counted Paper Ballot Elections. And
all right, and
now.
Bob Patrakis, co-author with me of Will the GOP Still Win America's 2012 Election? Another hour has flown by. Don't vote on electronic machines. Get an absentee ballot. We will see you next week. We're going to continue with this theme until the election of 2012. Thank you so much, Sheila and Bob.
Thank you so much, Harvey and Bob.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But don't you know we're going to have a solar-topia, solar-topia.